Good to have a bouncer around. 1 Samuel chapter 23 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 23. And I want to read the first 12 verses of the chapter here. And I want to talk about the subject of mercy. It says here, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines, and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut up in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, Bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, He will come down. Then said David, Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, They will deliver thee up. Let's pray. Lord, bless this message this morning. I pray that you would use it to help those of us that are saved be more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd use this message this morning as well to speak to the hearts of those that are present and are lost. May they see a picture here of God's, of your mercy for them, and may it lead them to repentance. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at the life of David and noticing certain characteristics about him. We've begun by saying that he had a heart after God's. We also have looked at how he was faithful, humble. He was courageous. He overcame evil with good. And he was a man of his word. And most recently, last week, we looked at a unique attribute of David, and that was his tendency to always look inwardly when troubles arise. When there were problems, when things happened, bad things happened, David did not point the finger at others. He instead looked to himself to see if there was any wrongdoing on his part. And that's why I entitled last week's message, It's All My Fault, because that appears to be what David said many times in his life. He said that when Ahimelech and the other priests were slaughtered by King Saul in Doeg. He didn't blame Saul, David didn't. He didn't blame Doeg. He didn't blame the servants of Saul who stood by. He instead said, you know what? I have caused this by including Ahimelech in on my running from Saul. And he blamed himself. He blamed himself when he committed sin with Bathsheba. When he was confronted by the prophet of God, he did not make excuses. He did not try to justify his actions. He didn't blame anyone but himself. Right. He said, I have sinned against God. And he did the same thing when he numbered the people. When God sent the plague and the people began to die, he admitted to the Lord that he was the one that sinned and to please stop the plague. So David, he had this unique characteristic of looking inwardly and finding where it is that he went wrong and confessing it before the Lord, and that's how we need to be as well. But this morning, I want to look at another attribute of David's, and that is mercy. Mercy. And I think that we will see, by the time we get through this passage of Scripture, how it illustrates how merciful David was. You see, here it says that the Philistines were fighting against the city of Keilah. The Philistines being one of the arch enemies of the people of Israel. And here they were again fighting with one of the cities within the nation of Israel. And I think we understand that David at this point in time was, you know, a mighty warrior in the armies of Israel. And he would go in and out, as the Bible says. That means he would go out of town to fight, and he would come back experiencing victory after victory. And the people were accustomed to David rescuing them from their troubles, their trials, and their battles. Yet, things are a little bit different at this point in history, because David's on the run. Right, he's running from King Saul. He's running for his life because King Saul desires and wants to kill him. And so he doesn't have a whole army of men with him, just a few hundred. And yet these are men that are faithful to David and have ran to him, and they are traveling with him in his fleeing from King Saul. But someone, and I'm not sure if it's someone from the city of Keilah, I'm not sure if it's someone within these hundreds of men that are with David, but someone lets him know that the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, which is a city in Judah. And so David inquires of the Lord and says, "Lord, what should I do? Should I go up to Keilah to fight against the Philistines? Because here the people of God are suffering. The Philistines are coming in to the threshing floors, and they're stealing their crops, stealing their wheat, stealing their corn, their substance that's needed in order to live. So what should I do, Lord?" And the Lord says to David, "Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." He says, "Go fight, David. Go fight for the people of God." Yet David's men are a little bit reluctant at this point. I mean, here they are running from King Saul. I mean, they realize, and I believe that they're kind of in a central area of Israel, which would kind of protect them from outward enemies. But yet they were still afraid because King Saul and his armies were after them. And they basically say to David, "David, if we go to the city of Keilah, which is on the outskirts of the nation of Israel, if we go out there, we not only have to be weary of the armies of Saul, but we have to be weary of the Philistines and perhaps some of the other enemies of God." So to them, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. They're like, "David, are you really sure that you want to go to Keilah and save these people?" And so David, what does he do? He inquires of the Lord again. And he says, "Lord, are you sure you want us to go to the city of Keilah?" And the Lord says, "Yes, go, and I'll deliver the Philistines into thine hand." Again, I want you to imagine this scenario before you. You have David on the run from King Saul. Remember, he went to the priest Ahimelech because he didn't have a weapon. So evidently, if there were those with him that had weapons, they didn't have weapons to spare to give one to David. And so he took the sword of Goliath that was there where Ahimelech resided. So he didn't have a lot of weapons. He didn't have a lot of men. He was on the run. Perhaps it wasn't even now his responsibility to go and to protect the people of Israel. But he hears that there's a need, that the people, the inhabitants of this city, are troubled, that their food is being stolen. And he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord says, "Go." And David says to his men, "We're going to deliver the city of Keilah." And so they go up and they fight the Philistines, and sure enough, they win. They experience a victory. Though there was a limited number of men, David and his men were able to defeat the Philistines. But then David had another dilemma. word had come to King Saul that David was in Keilah. And Saul had seen this as a perfect opportunity to capture David, because David was now in a city that had walls and gates that would close him in. And so King Saul knew that if he could get his men there, they could surround that city and there would be no place for David to go. And David, being alert of his circumstances, he knew this, and he knew King Saul was out to get him. And he knew that he was in an enclosed area, and he knew that if King Saul came upon him, him and his men were going to be in a lot of trouble. And that's why verse 6, tells us that Abiathar, when he came to David, he brought with him an ephod, because David was to use that ephod to determine what the will of God was concerning the city of Keilah. Because David asked the Lord, "Will Saul come up against me?" And the Lord said, "Yes, he'll come up against you." And David said, "When Saul comes up against me and to fight against the city of Keilah, will the people of Keilah deliver me into the hands of Saul?" And the Lord says, "Yes, they will deliver you into the hands of Saul." And so David now realizes that the only thing for him to do is to get out of the city before Saul gets there. But again, I want you to understand what's taking place here. I want you to put yourself in David's shoes for a moment. What would you have been thinking if you were David? I mean, here you are on the run with a limited amount of men, and yet when you hear that this city's in trouble because they're your brethren, because they're of your nation, you go there and you do your best to deliver them. You save their lives by destroying their enemy. And how are you rewarded? Or how you might be rewarded? Of course, David flees before they can deliver him into the hands of Saul. But you know what? If David would have stayed there, the Lord said to him that those same people that you delivered, those same people that you saved, would deliver you into the hands of your enemy. How would you have felt if you were David? You know, I used to have a boss, and he'd always say that there was nothing that bothered him more than whenever you tried to help somebody and then they stabbed you in the back. Well, you know what? That's the type of thing that happened right here with David. He delivered the people of Keilah, and yet he wasn't able to stay there in hopes that they would protect him from King Saul, because the Lord said if he did that, they would deliver him into the hands of King Saul to be killed. David never appears, though, to hold this against the people of Keilah. He doesn't say anything to them at that time, nor does he say anything to them in the future. And I believe that that's called mercy, because that's not what they deserved. And David, I believe, in his life, had a habit of demonstrating, of showing mercy towards those people that he came in contact with. He had a habit of treating people a lot better than they really deserved to be treated. I mean, we've already seen in our study of the life of David that he was merciful to Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. And other kings would no doubt not have been as merciful as David was to Mephibosheth, because, again, understand, Mephibosheth was a descendant of King Saul. He is someone who could have threatened the throne of David. And so most kings, what would they have done? They would have destroyed anyone that was a threat to their throne. But rather than destroying Mephibosheth, what does David do? He brings this lame boy into his palace, gives him back all the land of King Saul, and says that he can continually feast with him at his table. That's called mercy. Because David didn't have to treat him that way. It really didn't make a whole lot of sense for David to treat him that way. But he did. Why? Because David was full of mercy. David was merciful to Saul. We've talked about this, yet we've not come to the chapters where David spares King Saul's life. But in chapter 24 and in chapter 26, God delivers King Saul into the hands of David, once in a cave and the second time in a camp. And if David would have wanted to, he could have taken the life of King Saul and nobody would have blamed him for doing so. Because if David had been delivered into the hands of King Saul, he most assuredly would have killed him.
Yeah.
But what does David do? He demonstrates mercy. You see, naturally, all of us probably want to destroy our enemies. Naturally, that's what we want to do as human beings. The old sinful flesh, our old sinful nature, that's what it wants to do. It wants to destroy our enemies. King Saul, why did he want to kill David? Because he saw him as a threat to his throne.
Mm-hmm.
He saw him as a threat to his son's eventual exaltation to king. And so he wanted to kill him. He's also envious of his victories and the people's praise of David. He wanted to kill him though, but David, when he had the opportunity to kill King Saul, he instead showed him mercy. There's another incident that we'll get to eventually in 2 Samuel chapter 16. David, in that particular chapter, is fleeing the palace because Absalom is revolting against him. And as David is fleeing with some of his men, there's a man by the name of Shimei that comes across his path and kicks dust and throws stones and curses at David. Shimei was a descendant of Saul. He was a fan of King Saul, not of King David. And he saw what was transpiring at this time in David's life as restitution for what David had done in taking the throne from King Saul. But the difference is, God gave the throne of King Saul to David. And so this was not restitution, but one of David's men said to him, he said, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king?" He said, "Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." That's what King David's servant said. "Let me go, you know what, I'm tired of this guy cursing at you. I'm tired of him casting rocks at us. You know what, they don't feel too great. Why don't you just let me go up there and chop the guy's head off?" David had some mighty men. And praise God, I think that's how every deacon should be, amen?
Amen.
Somebody's picking on the preacher, they said, "Preacher, let me just go knock his head off." And every preacher should say, "Now, deacon, don't do that. That wouldn't be very nice. We can't win him to the Lord if he's dead." That's how David was, though.
Right.
David said, "No. Evidently, the Lord has told him to come and do this." And you know what? David said, "Maybe it is that the Lord one day will show me kindness for what I'm enduring today. Just let him alone." David didn't have to do that.
Sure.
I mean, this man was being very, very stupid. Matter of fact, David later on would go back into the palace. And you know what Shimei did? He came and threw himself before David, repenting,
yep,
because he knew he was in trouble. But even at that particular point in time, David doesn't take his life.
Right.
Why? Because he was merciful.
Mm-hmm.
He could have taken his life. Most people probably feel like he should have taken his life. But that's not what David did. He showed him mercy. He treated him much better than he deserved. And you know what? I see the same type of thing taking place here in 1 Samuel chapter 23. Here you have a group of people, the inhabitants of Keilah. David saves them from their enemies. And then what were they going to do? They were going to in turn turn him over to his enemy. And David doesn't say a word to him. Does that impress anybody besides me?
Amen.
Is it any wonder that the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart? Because this is precisely the way that we see God operating throughout the Bible. That's why David is a man after God's own heart. He acted much the same way that God does within the same circumstances. Because you know what? You and I, we are, before we get saved, the enemies of God.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Not his friend, not innocent. We're the enemies of God. And yet Jesus Christ, here he is in the throne room of God, and what does he say to the Lord? Hey, there's some people down on earth and they're in a heap of trouble. And Jesus says to God the Father, you want me to go down and save them? And what's God the Father say? Yep, go down and save them.
Amen.
And even Jesus has to reaffirm this, the will of God in the Garden of Gethsemane. He there prays, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. What's he doing? Reaffirming the will of God, just like David did. Jesus is saying, are you sure this is what you want me to do to deliver these people? And God the Father says, yes, go and deliver them.
Amen.
Jesus came to this earth to deliver a race of sinners.
Amen.
And yet those same sinners that he came to save,
yep,
turned him over to Pilate, to the religious rulers, and cried, crucify. Crucify. And yet Jesus on the cross says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. I think that's the same type of attitude that David had throughout his life.
Mm-hmm.
People would wrong David. People would treat David unfairly. People would treat him unjustly. And you know what? For the most part, David just forgives them,
mm-hmm,
and he exhibits mercy. And you know, that's the way God wants us to behave. If you're a child of God, if you've been saved, you know what? God wants you to exhibit mercy towards people.
Amen.
You know, you need to not just look at the life of David, but look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what you're going to discover? That the way you expect people to treat you is not the way they're going to treat you. I mean, if you're a fundamental Bible-believing Christian in this world today, you know what? The world's not going to be your fan.
You're right. You're right.
They're going to resist you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to hinder your work for the Lord. But you know what? You can't turn around and try to unleash your wrath upon them.
Amen.
You need to understand that that's what's to be expected. That people are going to fight against you. That people aren't going to treat you right. They're not going to treat you justly. They're not going to treat you fairly sometimes. But that doesn't justify you treating them the same way.
Right.
You're supposed to interact with people the same way Jesus interacted with others. You're supposed to demonstrate mercy.
Amen.
Have you been a recipient of God's mercy?
Amen.
You've been saved? And you need to show people mercy. If you've not been a recipient of God's mercy, what you need to do is repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Right.
God desires to show you mercy. He wants to treat you a lot better than what you deserve to be treated.
Yes, sir.
It's not popular today, but every one of us, it's not popular to say, but every one of us deserve to be cast into hell.
Right.
And to spend an eternity there. That's what we deserve because of our sins and our offenses against God. But God loved us so much, He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for us.
Amen.
That's called mercy. Mercy. Rather than giving us what we deserve, He sent His Son to die for us. And if we will, by faith, receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can be assured of a home in heaven.
Amen.
In John chapter 1 and verse 12 it says, and to as many as received Him, that is Jesus Christ, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Bible says salvation is a free gift that God offers.
Amen.
And He holds out His hands and He offers to you salvation as a free gift, but you have to receive it. It's a gift that I believe every man, woman, and child can receive if they will. But the problem is many people turn away the gift of God. Don't turn away the gift of God. He's holding out His hands today. He's wanting to save you. And if you're not saved, I encourage you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you are saved, you know what? You need to study closely the life of David, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to try to mirror these godly characteristics that they possess. Do you have enemies? I'm sure you do. Do you have people that treat you what we would call unfairly, unjustly? Well, it was no different for David. It was no different for Jesus. It was no different for any other godly man that sought to serve and live for the Lord here on this earth. But we got to make sure we respond appropriately when people treat us in a way that we don't expect. You never would have expected the people of Keilah to treat David the way that they did. After he saved them, after he delivered them, to then hand him over to King Saul. That's not what you would expect. But that's what they would have done had David stayed there. And David, rather than pointing the finger at them and hollering at them about their could-be behavior, he just left. He just left, probably knowing that it wasn't the will of God for him to stay there in that city. We need to be just as merciful as the Lord, folks. Don't expect people to always treat you in the very best manner, because they won't. God's people hopefully will. But the people in the world, they probably won't. And even some that claim to be the people of God probably won't treat you the way that you expect. But don't allow that to cause you to be bitter.
Amen.
Don't allow it to cause you to react in an unbiblical manner. You're called to a higher calling. And you're to live above the normal tendencies of the flesh. You're to live above the world, not to act like it. You're to act like Jesus.
Amen.
So if you're saved, be like David and exhibit mercy towards those that don't deserve it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. And I pray that you'll use it this morning to speak to our hearts. Lord, I thank you for the mercy that you have exhibited to me and to everyone that's present here. Lord, we didn't deserve for Jesus to come and die for us, but yet you sent him because you love us. And I'm thankful for that. And Lord, I pray that we would all keep that in mind as we go about interacting with others in this life, because people don't always treat us the way we expect. They don't treat us many times in a way that's just and fair, but God, you still call upon us to demonstrate mercy towards them. And Lord, I pray that we would, and that mercy that's exhibited would be what helps to lead that one to Christ.
Amen.
Lord, I pray this morning the Holy Ghost will take what has been said and apply it to each of our lives. For Lord, you know how we need this message, and so just use it in our lives to make us be more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there is someone here this morning that's not saved, draw them unto thyself. May they truly understand this morning just how merciful you have been towards them. So bless the message this morning, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would stand with me and take a hymn book and turn to hymn number 303, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. 303.
Thank you. Lord, we